Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Hunting Out Loud with Rob and Sean, and it's been a while, turkey season and fishing and all that good stuff going on. But today we're going to be talking, we're going to be back in West Virginia talking to Josh and Danielle Hanshew. And anyways, you all had an exciting day, didn't you, Josh and Danielle?
Yeah, it was definitely fun.
So, you know, I seen your post earlier, and, you know, of course, Danielle got her bird, and it's been a four-year journey, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a lot of ups and downs, Robin. We've had plenty of opportunities in the past. I mean, we've had them come in, and there's always something wrong. As a matter of fact, the same place where we're at today, I think 3 years ago, I filmed. We called in. We had birds everywhere, man. We was on top of the ridge that morning. I'll start off, and then we'll say, we had to take the kids to the babysitter, and we couldn't drop them off till, I don't know, 7 o'clock per se, which is, you know, past the prime time to get in there and locate them and stuff. So we dropped the kids off to the babysitter, and then we had a 45-mile ride to where we was hunting. So I'm already trying to be in good spirits, but I'm feeling like, you know, this is going to be a waste of day because I love being there before daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And we get out there, and there was turkeys everywhere. We got there late, birds gobbling everywhere. We set up on top of a ridge, had, I mean, turkeys hammering everywhere. Called, one come in, had a hen walk in about 5 feet from us, and a gobbler behind her struck. Daniel couldn't see. Come around, strutted in front of us. There's always just been something goes wrong. Either a tree's in the way, or I'm on the left, and she's on the right, and she should be on the other. Just every time we go, something happens. And that day, we had let a bird get away, and then we had dropped down on the same road we was at today. And I had called a turkey in, a hen and a gobbler, and he couldn't have been 10 feet, 15 feet at the most. And I was sitting up higher than she was, and she couldn't see it.
Hmm.
And she was whispering to me to shoot it, and I didn't want to. So I waited, and they come in, and she thought she had a shot. She shot, bird took off. You know, but the same place, we said the same place today, the same plat we had that miss on, she's able to take the first bird today. It was a great day.
Man, that's sweet. That picture is awesome. I hope you don't mind me using that picture on this episode right here.
Not at all.
While we're at it. So congratulations, Danielle, on your first bird.
Thank you. He's walked my legs off for the last 4 years, so it was about time.
Yeah, there's a lot of walking in that, you know, I put on my poster earlier on the HOL page. It's kind of like CrossFit with a shotgun.
Exactly. You know, but we hunt public land, Robbie, and it's either public land or, you know, park service or state land. And, you know, we have a couple of leases, but we have, you know, this is the first year we've actually, you know, had leases to hunt. And we've done all of our hunting on public land. It's tough. Everybody knows it's tough. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, today we were going out to where we go, and there's, you know, a lot of pull-offs and stuff, and people just been pulling off here and there, and the birds have heard it all. You know, I mean, they hear everything.
Oh,
they hear
yeah.
Every call there is. And you know how it is once birds get call shy. I mean, it's tough. Late in the season, it gets real tough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure, especially public land. You know, I've never hunted turkeys on public land, and that's a different game right there, because, I mean, when you're on public land, you know, obviously everybody can hear that bird, so you never know who else is going after that bird, really, do you?
No, and, you know, if you stick by the roads and hunt by the roads and stuff, you're more apt to have run-ins. I mean, the only way I know to get away from that stuff is just take off, you know, and we'll go 3, 4, 5 miles deep, you know, just to get away from people and try to get to birds that haven't been messed with.
Yeah. Well, what kind of, you know, everybody... I know everybody talks about the shell stuff like that, and I got to tell you a story real quick. You know, I always used the Winchester XRs, and I know everybody's into the TSS. Are you guys into all that stuff?
No, we do the XRs.
XRs, well, that's what I always used. Well, I thought I had a box, but I didn't. So I go scrambling, and, of course, I couldn't find any, like, the day before turkey season. And I end up having to get crappy old Remington 3.5s, and you know... I was freaking out, but I'll be honest with you, they done pretty good on both my turkeys. I probably killed the one it was 30 yards. The one I killed, my second one was probably, it might have been close to 40 yards. I was pretty impressed with them, but I'm an XR guy too in Winchesters. So, Daniel, what kind of gun you use? You got a 20 gauge or 12 gauge, or what are you using?
It's a 12 gauge, Mossberg 12 gauge.
Oh yeah, you gotta go with Mossberg. Everybody's gotta have Mossberg.
I don't know. Josh is a diehard Browning fan.
Oh well, you're big time in.
Well, this is another story that could take forever. But
go ahead. We're podcasting.
I'm hunting with my real good friend Brandon Boggs. We always hunt the first day of spring season every year, and I was hunting with him, and we were filming, you know, for a show or whatever, and he stretched, you know, he hit a turkey a long ways off, and he's always bragging about this Browning gun, and after I seen, you know, shoot birds and hammer birds, you know, 40, 50 yards, mm-hmm. and I mean, that gun, they're wicked, man. So I'm on the look for one. And I locate one in Kentucky. I meet this guy, and we do it, I don't know, a trade or something. And anyway, I get this Browning Gold Hunter. That's what, and it's already camoed out. I got a Jeb's choke. And so I get the saddle mount for it, and I got a scope on it. I got the, I think it's a Turkey Pro,
mm-hmm.
Nikon Turkey Pro. And I got it set up for Danielle because, Robbie, you can shoot 3.5s through it all day long. It's like shooting a 2 3/4, no recoil.
Dang, that's what I need then.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So I've got Danielle. I mean, she's set up. She's been set up for a few years. And if we just would have lined up, you know, she would have stroked one. But we started having trouble with the saddle mounts. And last year, we ended up having to put the scope set up because she likes shooting through a scope. We ended up putting it on my very first Mossberg 835 Ultra Mag. And she can't shoot 3.5s through it.
Oh, no. Them things will wear you out, won't they?
Yeah, they hurt. So, you know, last year we get the scope set up on the Mossberg gun, and we're talking about going to shoot it. And we get her set up, and I don't know, I worked a lot. I was working a lot before season come in, and she was in Beckley running around and stopped at the sporting goods store. And I told them, I said, if they don't have, you know, something, just try to get a turkey load in a 12-gauge, just in a short chamber. And she comes home with a box of Kent, something or another, some kind of diamond shot. I don't know. I never even heard of Kent a couple years ago. And we're out there, got a, you know, box or whatever set up. She shoots it, and it's stomping her, man. 2 3/4 shell. I'm like, she's starting to hold her shoulder. I'm like, Danielle, it's 2 3/4. You know, you should be able to shoot a box a day. And she tells me, she's like, it's kicking. I got behind that thing, Robert, and I'm telling you, I don't know what it is about that shell. Or if it's about, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was like shooting a 3.5 with a 2 3/4 shell.
Huh.
And but like I said, they put out a heck of a pattern out of just a 2 3/4 shell. So I told her, I said, you know, if you get a turkey in front of you, you won't even mind that kick. And she didn't today.
Huh. I'd say she didn't know what was going on today. I mean, as far as kick-wise, with that turkey out in front of her.
Yeah, shaking like a leaf, buddy.
I guarantee it. Well, Josh, you know, when you're with, I mean, to get to share that together, you all, and all the work you all put in and stuff like that, I mean, that's just something special, really. Anytime I've introduced someone to the woods, or in turkey hunting, that's the best way to go to introduce someone to the woods, in my opinion, because there's always some action, other than running up and down the hills and stuff like that.
Yep.
But, and then just to be with someone when they take their first bird, that's a pretty cool deal, especially being your wife. So.
Yeah, and, you know, Robbie, we don't, like, in the past, you know, we've got two young kids, and mm-hmm. you know, one would be in school, and you know, we'd have one that was at home, and, you know, just have a lot of babysitter options, and we just didn't get to hunt a lot, you know, a day here and a day there. That's how it's been, you know. We talked about four, you know, I think this was the fourth season we've hunted trying to get her one, but you know, the seasons before, you know, you take, she might have 2 days a season to hunt.
Right.
It ain't like she's got a month at a time to try to, you know, every year to get it done. You just got a limited amount of days.
Yeah.
And our little man started preschool this year, and my mind already started rolling, you know, man. I'm like, You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We got to get in the woods a little bit late because they catch the bus, like, you know, 6:20 or something, but I'm like, it's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Well, now, I mean, it's really been a while since we've talked. I mean, we've chatted a little bit, but I think your daughter, she took a doe there a few years back, didn't she?
Yeah, she has killed 2 does, and then she killed a 7-point with her crossbow last year before last. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. She's been doing good, man. She loves archery, and I'm about to try to get her to switch over to a compound bow. She's always been too little, you know, to pull anything back weight wise where I thought she could, you know, take an animal with it.
Oh yeah.
So that's why she's been shooting a crossbow for a few years, but it's about time to transition over. You know, it was either not let her take anything or let her shoot a crossbow. So that's what we went with.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, my son Greg, when he was 12, 13 years old, he had a lot more time where he could shoot his compound. But as he got older, I mean, with all the sports he plays and stuff like that, he really don't have time to shoot his compound, so I just have him take a crossbow. I mean, there ain't no sense him just going out there shooting a compound to say he's shooting a compound if he's not going to be effective with it. You know, that's the way I feel.
Yeah, and it's either, you know, if a person's not going to have the time, mm-hmm. it's either not hunt or shoot something that's, you know, that you can do good with. So, a lot of people are down on crossbows, and you know, they made it legal in West Virginia. It used to be a handicap deal where you had to have some kind of permit to have them, you know, with an injury, and they opened it up to everyone, and I'm not against them. I'm about people getting in the woods, whether it's crossbow, whether it's traditional, whether it's, it don't matter, you know what I mean? It's just all about getting in the woods, with whatever you can.
I agree 100%. You know what, Josh, and I know you know you're pretty outspoken a little bit, like myself. And what's the deal with the ego with people having to talk crap? And I mean, why do people worry about what other people's doing? And you know, hunting, we have enough people against us as it is. And I know you see it on social media. I mean, there's not a lot, but I mean, someone can post a picture of a small deer or post a picture of a deer they shot with their crossbow, and there's always got to be some idiot say something. I just don't get that, do you? That's just not a sportsman.
In the hunting industry is we're destroying ourselves from the inside out.
Well, I'm going to ask you something. You be honest with me. I know you will. That's what I'm going to ask you. How many people out there, you know, promoting the outdoors or promoting themselves? I mean, what are they doing? You know, we have all these shows. I like watching the YouTube shows because I feel like they're more genuine. And I understand the sponsorships and all that stuff. You have to have that. We've been in that game, Josh.
We've been there. We've been through that. You know?
And I understand that, but it's just like it's almost turned into a circus. And I wonder how many people, I mean, are you... I want to promote the outdoors. I want to promote Josh and Danielle's hunt and what you guys do. And then my next guest, I want to hear from them. I want to promote their hunts or their experiences outdoors. But do you know what I'm saying about the promoting, you know?
Exactly. But you know, Robbie, there's things out there that work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's things that work, and then there's things that don't. And you got people selling themselves, promoting things that don't work.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And just to be able to say, well, I'm field staff with this, or I'm pro staff with this, or I'm, you know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong. I know good people that do that.
Oh, absolutely.
That are those kind of people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Bobby, we've been there. We were once there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they would sell their soul to the devil to be able to make it work. I mean, to do whatever to sell, to think they're, but you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was on the...
I'm with you. My face is turning red. It makes me mad.
Well, that was on the tip of my tongue. You know, I was getting ready to say the same thing. They'd sell their soul for 40% off, a lot of people.
Yep.
And I know, and I see some people that means a lot to them to be able to say they're field staff or pro staff. And I piss people off on this podcast by being open about that, but it's just the truth. You know, I'm talking about, I want to talk to the everyday average outdoorsman. I could care less about that person that feels like they need to be accepted by those other pro staff people or the people on TV that could care less about them in the first place. All they want to do is sell them something. You know, we don't have to, and I think it's created a lot of division because you have this hunting show here, this hunting show there, this hunting show here. They're all sponsored or getting 20, 30, 40%. And now they're kind of against each other instead of having that brotherhood of, you know, that we should have. You know, I want to promote those little shows that are promoting outdoors, and I do, if you watch my page on Facebook, you know. But, I don't get it. You know, what's more important, getting 40% off or going out there and enjoying your hunt and being able to say you want to say?
What if there wasn't Facebook, and what if there wasn't Instagram, and what if there wasn't hunting shows in general? What if companies had to sell their product from what people tell people? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, see, now...
Would you have as many pro snappers? Would you have as many field snappers if, you know, I call up Robbie and say, hey, Robbie, these cover cameras are the real deal, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you still going to have people doing that kind of stuff if they're not getting recognized?
No. How many of those people would still hunt, I wonder?
Do people even hunt? Do the people that you see posting all this stuff and are field snapping and pro, do they even hunt?
I don't know. I mean, I know.
Or are they pro snappers? I mean,
it's just out of control, really, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. But you know, Robbie, we bought into that, and that's what we thought we wanted to do.
Oh, yeah.
We bought into it, and we've tried it, and we can now look to where I was at one point. I was there. And we were blasting stuff on Facebook every day and promoting. And we were there, Robbie, and now we've stepped away from that, and we see a different bunch doing it, and then they're going to... It's a lot of work, Robbie. I mean, you got to give them credit. They're working hard to do it.
It's
a lot of work.
It's yeah.
They're going to fade away, and they're going to. I'm not going to say wise enough, even though that's what I want to say. I'm not going to say they're wise enough, but they'll see the picture, the whole picture, and then they're going to be in our shoes now, looking back, and there's going to be somebody new in there. I mean, it's just a. It never ends. I mean, and that's what the companies want. You know, they want it to never end. They always want to have these people promoting their products.
Well, they handcuff everybody, you know, just a little bit that we was into, you know, it sucked the life out of what I love to do. It turned it into a job. And then, I know we need it. The good thing about social media is I'm talking to you right now. We're talking to each other. I've met so many people, different hunters, outdoorsmen, women through social media. And, I enjoy that part of it, but somehow we all got to get back into just promoting outdoors the right way. You know, people will do anything to build their brand. They'll use God, you know, on every post. And are you promoting God? Are you promoting your own brand? Do you know what I'm saying? How many times have you seen that?
A lot. Yeah, you see it a lot.
I'm like, are you promoting God here or are you promoting your brand? Because you should be promoting God. And, you know I go off and say this or that, but when I'm in the woods, you know, but you know, you have a peace of mind out there. But anyways, I guess it'll work itself out. Hopefully, things are going for your kids when they get our age. They can still hunt.
Yeah, I hope so. Robbie, and I've done some things while filming, and you know, you pass up shots, and I passed up a deer that, I mean, I should have had my hind end kicked. You know what I mean? Because I got tore up, which, of course, anybody's going to.
Sure.
I was more thinking about, man, how am I going to get this on film, and is he going to do this, and is he going to do that? And the deer come in and left. I mean, I'm like, I was so eat up with having to do this and having to get this on film. And, you know what I mean? I let a deer of a lifetime for around here. Now, y'all got a lot of big deer down there. You know what I mean? It probably would have been maybe one of your smaller ones on your
walk. Hey,
deer of a lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't take it, Robbie. He's gone.
Yeah.
I didn't have all that crap. Even on my wall, you know what I mean? That's when you start thinking, well, what am I doing?
Well, it got to the point where I just flat out refused to go hunting if he was taking it with me. It wasn't fun.
Yeah.
It took all of the fun out of every bit of it because you had that camera stuck in your face.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't enjoy it at all.
No, and then, like you said, Danielle, if you do kill something, the first thing you got to think of is, oh, we got to get B-roll, we got to talk, we got to interview.
That's what we done, Robbie, and I look back now, and my wife's first deer she shot. You know what I mean? And I hate to admit this, but we're big guys and we're talking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, and another one of the things where I should have my hunting kick, but looking back, you know, we didn't get to enjoy the moment of her shooting her first deer.
Yeah.
And we looking back now, if I knew what I mean, we should have just turned up all that shit off and just went up there and celebrated her killing her first deer. But instead, I mean, trying to film all this, capture the emotion, and, you know, you're trying to say, well, slow down, let me film you while, you know, while you're tracking this deer, and you gotta catch the heart, you know, the recovery, and for what?
First deer. It was my first deer with a bow.
With a bow, yeah, but I mean, for what, though?
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
Something that we don't even have anymore, Robert. We don't even have the footage of it anymore, you know what I mean? You know, it's just wasted, man. It's just a waste of time.
It sucks the life out of it. And, you know, for you all listening that might be doing the YouTube thing, the camaraderie, if you have a good team, but like Josh said, you have to have a cameraman if you're going to do it, my opinion. I mean, you have to. And then when season comes, no one wants to switch back and forth. It's just a pain in the butt. It's not for me, and I know it's not for you all. And like you said, it just sucks.
Yeah, but you know, Robbie, I'm not down and discouraging somebody that's hunting and doing it like your YouTube shows. And I mean, there's even some good TV shows. I know a few good TV, and there's guys that live it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And I'm not talking down on these guys.
No.
I'm not trying to make me sound better than them, or I'm not belittling them. But I just hope that everybody will not do the mistakes that I've done and pass up on enjoying the moment. I don't want to ruin, like, I was ruining Danielle's time with me. I mean, it was the one where she didn't want to hunt. And I just hope nobody else is doing that. You know, and I really hope nobody else is doing that.
And I think you're right, because I feel like there's quite a few people that feel like they have to be a part of the pro staff, the field staff, some sort of hunting show to be accepted and to be taken serious as a big-time hunter or something, and that's just not true.
Yeah.
I mean, if I kill 260-inch bucks this year, you all see a picture of them, that'll be it. I could care less. That's for me. You know, if I get a little bit of footage of them, I'll put them on my page. If not, it's no big deal, you know. It's for me, personally, my true friends, you know, they'll see them and stuff like that, just like you all will share your hunts with your true friends and each other and stuff like that, and that's all that matters.
Yep.
You know, we don't have to be accepted by the whole hunting industry and the whole hunting world, stuff like that. And I'm telling you, a lot of people feel that way. And you know that. But anyways, so back in the day, I know you killed a bear. I remember that.
Yep.
And now I'm going to tell you, we're starting to get a few bears around here. Like one was hit on the road up the road here earlier. And you know, it was a big, it was a big deal for us down here. Everybody's like, oh my God, there's a bear. But we don't want them bear, do we?
No, you don't. I mean, but it's going to start out like you are right now. You're going to see one hit on the road, and Billy Bob, Farmer Brown down the road is going to say, I've seen one, but they've taken over, Robbie. I mean, you know, a lot of guys, you know, we can bait here, and a lot of guys bait deer. I mean, they destroy their feeders all the time, and it's become a nuisance. I mean, and I you know, I harvested one with my bow. I have a blind.
Mm-hmm.
It come to a low gap. I don't know. I think it was 20 something, you know, less than 30 yards. And, you know, we couldn't cook it right.
No, it's just plain gross.
we tried roast and we put it in a crock pot, and I don't know for how many ever hours, like 6 hours or I don't know. And it was still like, you couldn't take a knife and cut it. I mean, it was it. And I know it can be done right, but we didn't know how to do it. And, I mean, I harvested one, and I felt like we didn't do the bear right because we didn't get to enjoy the meat. I'm done. You know what I mean? I won't shoot another one. I have no desire to. But they're everywhere, Robbie. I mean, they're on our leases. They're everywhere.
Well, you know, some of the other friends I have up in West Virginia, they pretty much said the same thing, what you were saying. They're just a nuisance. You know, as far as a deer hunter is concerned, I guess they just tear the jack out of the cameras, like you said, the feeders, and just a pain in the butt, I guess, as far as deer hunter. But so,
yeah.
I guess we're going to get stuck with that soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I'm telling you right now, I've got some buddies that flat deck and can turn dogs loose and run the bar out of them now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big thing up here is the bear dog hunters, and they'll put them on the run, but
yeah.
They have a lot of opportunities. You know, I mean, they have a full workload. I mean, when it comes to chasing bears, they're everywhere.
Yeah. Well, man, I didn't mean to get off the turkey hunting too much. We went on a little bit of a YouTube rant.
That's how it goes. This is real life, man. Hey, it's real life.
I know.
Real life.
This is fun right here. We don't have to worry about what we say or anything. We just let it roll. Yeah. But something, I mean, I've mentioned to you a few times is, I know you're into collecting turkey calls and stuff like that. So what's the deal with that? How'd you get into that?
You know, it all just happened, Robbie. Like, I've always been run to Walmart, buy a turkey call, and try to go out and hunt. And, Facebook's what done it. I mean, I met a guy, a collector from out west. And got to message him back and forth and ask him, you know, I was getting interested in it and got to ask him about, you know, what should a man look for? Who, you know, some names. I wanted some names from him. And he told me he would sell me a call. I forget what the first one was. But, you know, I said, okay. So I paid him and he shipped me a box, man. And it had like 5 or 6 of these custom calls and 2 or 3 books, man. I mean, books are literature and actually turkey books. I mean, authors that read and write about their hunts. I mean, it's an industry in itself. I mean, it's huge. And he sent me 2 or 3 books. And the calls were great, man. I never heard of the guys at the time, you know, but he sent me a couple books. And one of them was Earl Mickle book. And he's a legend, you know. He's a legend. And he came up with 3 books that he went and talked and interviewed call makers and just kind of give their story and put a few pictures in the book, and, you know, he would rate how valuable he thought their calls were or would be. You know, he'd done 3 of these. Well, that was one of the books this guy from out west gave me. You know, it's like a $200 book. He'd give it to me, and I'm starting to look through the pages, and then he gave me another book by a man that I'd never heard of, Wayne Bailey. Mm-hmm. He was a West Virginia DNR biologist, and he devoted his life to wild turkey. I mean, you know, back in the 60s, maybe later, maybe I'd say 50s, 60s, somewhere in there, there weren't a lot of turkey in West Virginia. And Wayne, through his studies, and he would go out, I guess maybe different states, and capture birds. You know, he was one of the original first users of the net they shoot out of a gun. You know, he used that to capture birds and bring back here and get them reintroduced. Well, I took a liking to this Wayne Bailey guy. And I found another book that I found out he had made a few calls, wing bone calls, and he made some calls out of like snuff cans, just old, fairly simple stuff. But to me, it was very interesting since I'd read about Wayne Bailey, and since he was born and raised not too far from me, and he'd done so much for the state, and even the birds that we get to hunt today, I took a liking to him, and, you know, went on a search for some of the old wing bone calls he made, and, you know, they're valuable, but they're rare and they're hard to find. And then, you know, you got your Facebook pages. I think it's Turkey Call Collector Trader, and I've started meeting different guys on there. And now, through social media, I'm friends with lots of call makers, and it just took off, man. You buy a call here, get a call for your birthday, get a call for Christmas, Valentine's Day, you got extra money, buy another call.
No, let me say, is it now an obsession? We are obsessed with turkey calls. We have 2 curio cabinets that are completely stuffed full of old turkey calls.
That's awesome. So you into it too, Danielle?
No. I just buy them for gifts, that's it.
So that's an easy gift for you to get him something like that then. That's pretty cool. Well, what's the... You know, what's the top of the line? Something, I mean, is there a call out there that you're looking for that you haven't found yet, or?
Yeah, you know, Neil Koss, the Gobbler Shop. Neil Koss was, he's been gone for a while now, but his box calls, Robbie, they're very valuable, you know. But if a man wants to be able to obtain one, that's like the top of the line for me, mm-hmm. Neil Koss. And you're looking at probably dropping from 1,500 to, seen one on eBay sale the other day for $2,400, you know, for one box call.
Man, I could see them things just continue to, you know, rise.
And they will. You know, that's, I keep telling Danielle she won't buy into it, but they're an investment, Robbie, I'm telling you.
Well, there you go. No doubt.
And the thing about it is, Robbie, I mean, once you start getting into it, it's not just, I mean, I buy new collecting, you know, new call makers. I've met so many call makers, and they make stuff that sounds so good. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, Lynch and they, I'm not saying that's not good calls, but, I mean, I got one in the mail last week.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Fulkerson makes a hen box. I've never even heard of a hen box before until I started talking to these guys on social media. Dusty Roberts tells me, Josh, you got to get a hen box. You got, I mean, he kept telling me, and I'm like, man, I ain't never even seen one. What's the difference in it, a regular box? And so I get a hold of this call maker and order this call from him, and it comes in the mail, and I can't even play it, man. I'm like, God, this thing's, you know, I didn't understand it. It's got like a, I don't know, Rob, it's hard to explain, but it's got a handle on the box call, like an actual handle that you hold on to separate. You know, it's made on the box call, but your hand's not actually touching the box call port.
Yeah.
And the lid, you know, the lid had all kinds of stuff in it. It's a snake wood lid. It's real pretty, you know, and it's a different looking box. It's deeper and thicker, and I just couldn't make it sound right. And I carried it for a couple of days, and I'm like, man, I don't know about all this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Dusty, the guy, kept preaching to me. He's like, Josh, he's like, I'm going to make you some videos and send to you. And I got them last night. I'm laying there in bed last night watching them. And I'm like, man, I understand now how to use it. So after I come out on the front porch last night about midnight or something, I hear practicing. Took it today, Robbie, and that's what we killed a bird with. I mean.
Man, that's sweet.
There's something about them, you know, not knocking the big name brands, but, you know, that's mass produced stuff. And you're talking about using something that a man set down and made with wood tools, and you know, what I mean, made with his hands, right there, just for me.
Yeah, with a passion. Cool. That's pretty cool, man. Heck yeah! So you know, I've asked you about those before. Matter of fact, I just have a little slate call made by one of the young guys around here. I have it in my hand right now. It's just, I just like using it just because he made it. I mean, it's nothing expensive. It's just something he made at his house. But like I said, it's just, I don't know, it's something different using something someone's made with their hands there. But,
it's something you appreciate, you know what I mean, Robbie? And like, you know, that guy will appreciate you killing a turkey with it, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Only thing it could be any better, and it's something I've thought about getting into some, but when you have so many call makers as friends, you don't want to feel like you're cutting their throat, but I'd love to make my own. I mean, that'd be so much fun to me.
Well, yeah.
Make my own call and be able to take a bird with something that you made. That's on my bucket list, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So if you was to make one, I mean, what kind of would you go with, or what would you start out with, a slate or one of those that wing bone or whatever you was talking about? What direction would you go there?
I'd probably start out with like a pot call. I'd probably start making pots because, man, there's some really good pot call makers, and I've got some really good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I could start dropping names for days of people that, you know, there's a bunch of them out there. But
we'll drop a couple of your favorites.
William Mann.
Oh, well, I think I'm friends with him on Facebook, actually.
Probably so. We actually met in the woods, Robbie. I don't know how long you can have these things be, but, you know, we met in the woods. His brother lives not far from us, and he ends up, you know, long story short, I end up being somewhat kin to his brother's wife, or my mom was kin or something, I don't know, but we met in the woods. It was a nasty rain day, and I had laid my striker down. My striker got wet. I don't forget what I was even using, but the striker got wet. Well, I couldn't get that striker to play on any call. It wouldn't make a noise. It wouldn't even make a nothing. It was just dead. The striker was dead. That's the only thing I had. And we were hunting back behind the Babcock State Park, which is, you know, local to me. And I see his truck sitting there, and it's got something about turkey calls on the back glass. And we go down to the where everybody trout fishes there, and I bump into this guy, and I asked him, I said, is that you? I explained to him and told him my problem, and, man, he pulls out this big tote. He's got calls everywhere, and I'm like, my gracious. And he just gives me a striker.
Hmm.
And, you know, ever since, he makes a pot call. It's made out of apple, and it's got a copper surface to it, Robbie. And I'm telling you, he hand-turns the striker out of a piece of apple.
Hmm.
And that call is, you know, like I said, that's on the top of my list. Ted Peters out of Lima, Ohio. Ted makes, he's been making pot calls for years and years, and he's toward the end of his pot call making career. He's having some trouble getting materials, but his pot calls they're phenomenal. The detail they put into them, it's just mind-blowing. I mean.
My goodness, you're getting me pumped up now. I'm gonna get into this, which I've asked you a few times about them. You know, I was already interested in that stuff.
Yeah.
So now I'm really getting into it. Good grief.
Well, when William Mann found out that I was gonna start turkey hunting, he made me one that's smaller so I can hold on to it better to try to learn how to use it.
I think it's like a 3-inch pot or something. It's made smaller. Yeah. But you get somebody that's passionate and, you know, once they, I think he gave you that call.
He did, and I made him a cake.
Oh, did you make, that's a trade then, wasn't it?
Yeah. But just, you know, when you get somebody that, you gonna call up HS Truck and say, hey, my wife, she can't hardly handle that call as well, you know, could you make it smaller? You can't do that, Robin, you know?
No.
Yeah, you can't do it.
See?
But, I mean, there's a bunch. There's a bunch of them, Robbie. I mean, it's something once you get into, you just keep finding more and more, and you want one from them, and you want one from them, and it's addictive. A person can get carried away, and they tell stories about people that's gotten so far into it that, I mean, it's consumed. You can't let it get that far, you know? There's got to be a limit. Sometimes she tells me I ain't got my limits yet, but, I mean, there is a limit.
Oh, it's going. My buying calls at Walmart's over now. I'm just telling you.
It needs to be, Robbie. Like I said, if nothing else, there's just, you can't compare the sound you get out of them. I mean, Urban Witt makes a box call from North Carolina. It's very good. There's so many. I'm trying to think of a few more pot calls in my bag right now. The Ted Peters and William Manns and there's a local guy that lives in West Virginia. He's in the West Virginia Turkey Hall of Fame, Lonnie Sneed Senior.
Oh yeah. I've heard that name.
Robbie, he makes extraordinary calls. I mean, I don't know, they're some of the best. I mean, you know, I can't say this one's better than this one, but you know, these are the best of the best. I mean, these guys, the ones I'm telling you about are some of the best call makers I know of.
Well, I'm going to be diving into all this now. That's what I need.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, I've got some good with my most prized collection is my Wayne Bailey things. I've got, he made a 3-bone wing bone. He made a 2-bone wing bone. When Wayne retired from the West Virginia DNR, he went to North Carolina and done some of the same work in North Carolina. And then when he was finished with them, he started being like a sales rep for Penn's Woods.
Oh.
And Penn's Woods put out a commemorative box call for Wayne Bailey. Mm-hmm. And I've actually got a commemorative box call. It's in a special little wooden box, and it's got a pot call, or a box call and a holster and the chalk, and it's really nice. I mean, I've got one of those. Just a few of Wayne's personal items, you know, small things, snuff can call, with his name on it, just things like that. That's my prized possession, you know. That's why I tell Danielle, if I ever fall over out here one of these days from either working or hunting or something, I said, I really don't give a shit about none of my things, but make sure my kids get my turkey calls. Don't sell them for what I tell you I pay for.
Uh-oh. You better leave a list then, hadn't you?
Yeah, I gotta leave a list somewhere.
I hear you. Well, man. So, well, you know, we got turkey hunting. I mean, I don't know how much time you all have. You got a few more minutes.
Yeah, we're good, man. I'm good. I'm having a good time.
So how's the deer hunting looking up that way?
You know, I believe it's going to be another good year. Tell you, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I know you're a big-time deer hunter, and I've been my whole life, but turkey hunting is just about taking a front seat for me. I mean, I don't know. You know, my kids are into Cameron. He's 5, and he's still a little young. He wants to go. He's all about it. And I'm taking him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Kira lives for it. I mean, she loves it.
Oh
and
yeah.
That was my dream, was for my kids to want to do it. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
I'm not trying to force it on them. That's my dream, you know. And she's all about it. So I'm going to go with it. I'm going to paint cameras, and I'm going to try to find a good deer. You know, I'm going to continue to do that. But
yeah,
I don't know. I just don't. I guess maybe a person with life and kids, and I guess maybe just, well, do you get burned out, or do you get to where you just kind of want to take a break from it for a while?
Hey, just like you were saying earlier, you know, y'all raising, you know, you got family there and limited time and stuff like that, and plus, you know, I know before we had talked about that area up there where you's hunting and how it can be aggravating at times.
Yeah. I mean, I love killing big deer, little deer. I like eating deer meat. I mean, that's what we do, you know, and that'll never go away, but I really love turkey hunting. I mean, if I had my choice, I'd pick turkey hunting. That's how much I really enjoy it. I mean, it's a short season. And you don't get to do it very long. You just got half days of hunting. You know, you got to be out of the woods by 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a short season, but, it's, right now I love it. I mean,
well, you're into collecting the calls. I mean, you know, you and Danielle just went out there and experienced the heck of a hunt today, and I don't know, it's just fun when you can hunt with your family like that, and turkey hunting.
Yeah.
It's just, deer hunting is like a job in a way, and I love it, you know, that's my passion, but I enjoy turkey hunting in a different way than deer hunting. I mean, it's just like, it's more relaxing to me. You know, while I'm deer hunting, it seems like it's serious business, I don't know. But
I mean, it's a time of the year, too, thing, Robbie. I mean, you know, springtime, everything's coming alive. Mushrooms are growing everywhere, and we mushroom hunt. I mean, it's just, to me, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just a good time of the year for me. I mean, I love that time of the year because everything's coming back to life after winter, you know. And in the fall, you're sitting there thinking about everything that's got to be done before the weather sets in, and, you know, it's just a mind thing, maybe.
Right. Well, have you all found many mushrooms?
We found 23 more today. I don't know. We might have found 30 or 40 this year. It's been a hard year. Everybody predicted a real good year because of the rain, and I don't know. I think it's still early. We're going to hit it again in the morning while we turkey hunt. So we don't find thousands like people do. We enjoy getting out and looking, but I'm learning that as far as like where they grow, you know, the soils, the trees. I'm still learning it all.
Oh,
well, I found my first one ever today.
Did you?
By herself. Like I'll find them and say, Danielle, come here and look, see if you can find it, you know. But she actually found them on her own today, and that was
good. You had a day today, didn't you?
It was a very exciting day, and I do have to give it to Josh because it would not have been possible. I can't call. I have not mastered it yet. I can't use a mouth call. Can't use a box call. I just can't. So if it wouldn't have been for Josh, it wouldn't have happened.
Hell, man, that's great. Just good times together and stuff like that.
Yep.
Memories forever right there. So,
And Robbie, I'll tell you this. I don't know how much more time we got.
Oh, you got plenty of time.
Youth day this year. You know, my daughter wanted to go turkey hunting this year. And I've never been on youth days. I mean, never had a kid old enough or anything else. So, you know, I wasn't going to take her on the state land or WMAs because of the risk. You know, you're scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's bad enough, you know, you're taking a chance you getting shot, but you take your kid with you, you know, it's a whole lot different ball game. So, you know, we found a piece of private land the guy's got, and the guy that cuts hay off of us and things, and he says, yeah, sure, bring her up here. So I get her up there, and before daylight, we get up early, she's all excited. I can't find her shooting stick, Robbie. She's, you know, Kira's 10, but she's not, you know, we're talking about, I don't have her a gun set up. I mean, she's using guns that we use.
Right.
You know, not 3.5-inch magnum shells and stuff, but she's using our guns, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find our shooting sticks. So the same guy has a shooting house. Me and her deer hunted, you know, late last year during rifle season. She wanted deer hunts. We went up there, and we thought we left our little shooting stick in the deer box up there. Well, we get up, hike to the mountain, but sure enough, it ain't in there. Got birds gobbling while we're trying to find these shooting sticks. I'm like, yeah, we're just going to have to try to make it happen, you know. So there was two or three birds gobbling down in this hollow, and we take off and get set up in this field. And, man, they're over hammering. Well, they pitch down. I make a few calls. Here they come. So I look over, and there's a piece of stick laying there with a V at the top of it. And I stick it in the ground. I'm like, well, I'm trying to make it work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They come in. They fly across the creek, across the fence, you know, things everybody says they don't do, and they're just over-strutting about 50, 60 yards, back and forth.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and she's over getting all excited, but she's having trouble holding her gun up. It's just too heavy, and that single stick, if she'd lean over or something, it's wanting to fall, you know, her gun barrel wanting to drop to the ground.
Yeah.
Well, the hens pitched down. They come straight. They didn't like us being there, so they come down, took the gobblers off. You know, we thought, well, day shot, whatever. Well, here they all come back down the side of the hill, and I'm like, man, this is going to get good. And they're over feeding along this creek, and it's just an awesome experience. I mean, I'm over telling Kira, I was like, you better take this all in, Because your mom has been hunting with Daddy for 4 years now. We've never experienced anything like this yet. I mean, it's just a picture perfect. Everything's going good. The birds feed along the creek. We're sitting in this cow field. Each one of these turkeys are crossing the creek and walking into this field like 20 yards in front of us, Robbie. I'm like, there is no way that these gobblers are going to do exactly what I'm thinking.
Hmm.
Hands come in, feed out through there, you know. Well, I look. Boom, here comes one, here comes two, pull strut, swinging back and forth, gobbling. I'm like, Kira, she's got her gun on, and she kind of leaned over to the right a little bit, and I'm watching her struggle, trying to hold that barrel up straight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Kira, just put the scope on him and pull the trigger. She's like, Daddy, I can't. You know, so that was our youth hunt. We didn't get to harvest the bird, but it's an experience that she will never, never, ever forget.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And I told her chances of it ever happening like that again, so I'll be slim to none too, but, I mean, it was.
Well, Kira has a really hard time shooting a gun. She can't understand how the scope works, and I think she's scared of it kicking her. She does really, really well with her crossbow, and I told Josh she just needed to take her crossbow and shoot a turkey with it, and, of course, he didn't listen to me.
Uh-oh. Well, you know how that goes. Oh, man.
But, you know, Robbie, what more joy is there in life to know that your kids love it? I mean,
Your kids love it,
you know? Yeah. They love it. I mean, and that's what it's about, because if my kids love it and they do it, there's a good chance their kids are, you know, they're going to lean their kids toward it, and they're going to, you know, grow up that way. And that's tradition. That's life. I mean, what else do you want?
Yeah, that's what we got to have, keep it rolling, you know. And you know, I got Greg started, my son. And my stepson started, you know, with turkey season, because it's exciting, just like that experience you had with your girl right there. It's just, it got in their blood quick, hearing the gobbles and having them coming in, strutting up, and pretty much all the same things you just talked about with your daughter. It's just a lot more. It's just a good way to get someone in, you know, to introduce someone to outdoors is turkey hunting, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, Robbie, it's not just kids. I mean, Saturday, I took a senior this year from our local high school that just had never been turkey hunting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And took him out, and we got to set up on a bird, and he got to hear that gobble the first time, and that's all he wants to do. And I'll take him again, but, you know, Robbie, we have to make time for that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it may mean that, you know, Josh might not get a hunt, or might get, but you've got to make time to take these new people, and whether it be a youth or an adult, or just, you know, people that don't know what we know about it and hope they get hooked. I mean, that's what we do. That's why we do it.
Yeah. I agree 100%. You know, I tagged out, what was it, yesterday, I think. But when I was on the hill, I was thinking, man, you know, I only got so many more hunts left in me. I mean, I'm not old, but still yet. 20 years will be here and gone before you know it. And just what you said, I need to get. And I always try to get people in outdoors, or take someone deer hunting, or help them, you know that, and just like you do, and I got to, I just want to get as many people I can out there, and turkey hunting's the best way to do it, really. Coyote hunting, you know, I've took a few people coyote hunting, predator hunting. I'm not a big predator hunter like some of these other guys. They take it seriously.
Yeah, me neither.
Deer hunting, but it is fun, and it's exciting for people out there. But you all got a lot of coyotes up your way?
They're just about like the bear anymore, Robbie. I mean, there's getting to be more and more. I mean, I'm standing on the front porch right now on our farm, and there's no doubt in my mind that about dark, or they're about to hear them somewhere. I mean, they're here. If people trap, you know, big time trapping. I mean, you got these guys that they do their thing, but I'm just afraid that even with the predator hunting, I mean, I'm afraid that you can't kill them off faster than what they're reproducing, and I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't know.
You know, someone that predator hunts like me, you know, I might kill two or three, or most of the guys with guns, some of the better ones, I don't know how many they kill. Now, you take, if we had more Nick Biggs and Corey Cox, like around here, David French, now them guys, they can take a pretty big chunk out of an area. Of course, you know, they can't take care of the whole state, but, you know, I was glad you pretty much hooked me up with Nick, and I mean, there's no better guy. Nick didn't mention something when I interviewed him. What was you telling me earlier on the phone about him? I'm sure he wouldn't care if you mentioned it.
You know, Nick's a great guy. I don't know him personally, just through Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that you got to give credit to Facebook for, you know, one of the few things they're good for. But, you know, Nick's got a pretty good audience. You know, people will follow him, and I follow him. I mean, I want to see how he does trapping. And, you know, I might get this story somewhat wrong, but, you know, the gist of it is Nick got, you know, things donated, money donated, traps donated, you know, supplies, whatever come with it donated. And he made these, like, trapping starter packs, you know, and he'd give it to, I think, youth, maybe just people that was interested. I don't know if it was older people. I don't know that for sure. But, you know, he got these starter packs made up and would take and give or ship or however these people that was interested in trapping, you know, something to get them going. And hats off, man. You know what I mean? That's what.
Oh, yeah. He's just wanting to pass on. You know, that's his passion, and he's wanting to keep it rolling. We have a local guy down here, David French, and now Nick and David and Corey Cox, she has a social media, and where we've done this podcast, they're all connected now, and they're all big-time trappers. But I had run into a young guy while I was turkey hunting. I don't even know if he's 20 years old, but we had talked a little bit, and he had talked about trapping, asked if I ever trapped. And he'd said that David French had kind of helped him out. And then, of course, I told him, I said, now you need to get a hold of Nick Biggs, because Nick told me, he even said on the podcast, you know, anybody has any questions, message me. That's pretty cool. So, anyway.
You know, and I'll tell you, Robbie, there's a few more people that I'd like to see you have on here. I met, you know, through Facebook and watching videos. There's a local guy to me. He probably lives 30 minutes from here, but he lost his eyesight, and his name's Tim, and that's all I'm going to tell you, but, you know, we'll talk after this show, but he lost his eyesight, and he's, you know, he's probably my age. I'm guessing maybe pushing 40 or maybe a few years younger or older, but he lost his eyesight, like, not a long time ago. You know, he had it and then got some kind of real rare eye diseases, and it made him blind, and somehow or other, he ended up in a different state. I'm thinking out west, but I'm not for 100%. But, you know, they had this shotgun scope set up and with a phone, and they helped guide him, and he took a bird blind, man. I'm like, I talked to him on the phone a few times, and he ended up getting hooked up with a call maker that lives up in the northern part of the state, and I seen on Facebook the other day that he got to harvest his second bird the same way out of the blind. I mean, that's just phenomenal. But I'd love to have him on here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm telling you right now, Robbie, you know, I'm no master caller. You know, I can kill a bird, and I'm decent.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no other man that I've ever known or heard or seen that can run a box call like this guy. It's his passion. I mean, that's what he does. It's Tim Murdoch.
Mm-hmm.
Tim and Lisa Murdoch's his wife. And he does, like, he's done a couple how-to videos on his Facebook page on how to run a box. And I'm telling you, the dude is legit. I mean, he is cream of the crop. You'll never see anybody that can run a box like this guy. I'd love for you to have him on and talk with him. He's just an awesome guy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I'll look him up, or if you get a hold of him, just let him know. Send him my way.
Yeah.
And we'll get him on, man.
Yep.
Well,
Robbie, I enjoy it, man. I mean, we talked before a few times. I mean, this podcast is everybody loves it. I love it. You know, I love listening to everybody you bring on. It's done well, Robbie. I'm proud.
I appreciate it. I thanks for you all coming on. We'll cut this off here in a second, but hang on to stay on the phone there if you don't care.
Okay.
But anyways, hey Danielle, congratulations on your bird today and your mushrooms.
Robbie, she's inside with dinner. Getting dinner.
Oh, is she? Okay.
She stepped inside, yeah.
All right. Well, for Danielle and Josh, this is Rob Marchand with Hunting Out Loud. We'll talk at you later.